Okay, we're going to come to our reading now, which is from John chapter 8 and verses 37 to 59. The words will be on the screen. If you want to follow along in the chapel Bibles, what's the page number, Ben?
1074.
Okay, 1074. And Ben is going to very kindly read this for us. So it's John chapter 8. From verse 37 to 59.
I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are looking for a way to kill me, because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you are doing what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do what Abraham did. As it is, you are looking for a way to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the works of your own father. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out all your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks in his native language, which for he is a liar and the father of lies. And because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe in me? Whoever belongs to the God, here's what God says. The reason you do not hear that is because you do not belong to the God. The Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan, a demon possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. I am not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it, and he is the judge. Very truly I tell you, whoever obeys my word will never see death. At this they exclaimed, now we know that you are demon possessed. Abraham died, so did the prophets. Yet you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, so did the prophets. Who do you think you are? Jesus replied, if I glorify myself, glory means nothing. My father who you claim is your God is the only one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not know, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and obey his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day. He saw it and was glad. You are not yet 50 years old, they said to him, and you have seen Abraham. Very truly I tell you, Jesus answered, before Abraham was born, I am. At this they picked up some stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds.
Brilliant, thank you, Ben. So, this is the next part of our series in which we've been looking at who Jesus is. And we've been looking at that through what are known as the I Am sayings of Jesus found in John's Gospel. So we've been looking at who Jesus said he was. And here they are, here are the sayings. We read them together each time. It's good for us to get to know these and to memorize them. So let's read them again together. I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the good shepherd. I am the gate. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth and the life. I am the vine. Before Abraham was born, I am. And so today we're looking at the last of those sayings where Jesus said, before Abraham was born, I am. I wonder if you've ever heard of the expression truth bomb. Does anyone put your hands up if you ever heard that term being used? I hear it sometimes, young people tend to use it quite a lot, it's quite a funny and interesting expression. A truth bomb is something you say that is completely true, but is kind of explosive in its effects. Sometimes people talk about dropping a truth bomb. And when you do that, it's when you know someone else is maybe lying to themselves or to others, or when people are simply ignoring the truth, when you drop a truth bomb, you just say it like it is. And the idea is that it completely blows apart this lie or this wrong thing that people are believing. And I was trying to think of an example of this, and the best example I could think of is the story of the emperor's new clothes. I'm sure you know that story. In the story, what happens is some tailors go to the emperor and they tell him that they're going to make him some wonderful clothes, because the emperor was a bit obsessed with clothes and he liked to wear brilliant new clothes. But they told him, we're going to make you some wonderful clothes, but the thing is, they're going to be made of cloth that only intelligent people can see. They would be invisible to anyone who wasn't intelligent. And so when they give the emperor these new clothes, and of course he can't see them, he doesn't want to admit that. He doesn't want to admit that he can't see them and imply that he's not an intelligent emperor. So he plays along with it. He plays along with this lie. And everyone else does too. He asks his courtiers and his servants what they think, and they can't see it either, but they don't want to admit the truth. So they all praise him and say, oh yes, they're wonderful, beautiful clothes. So they all play along with this lie. No one wants to admit that they can't see the emperor's new clothes. And so they all play along with this lie, even though the truth is staring them in the face. And the story goes that one day when the king goes for a walk in his city, and everyone else is complimenting him on his wonderful new clothes, a little boy drops the truth bomb. A small boy sees the emperor and immediately bursts out laughing and calls out, but the emperor has nothing on at all. And at this, the spell is broken. Everyone starts laughing, and it becomes apparent that actually the emperor is naked. that's an example of a truth bomb, something that shatters a lie, even if everyone else around is going along with that lie. And actually, I think that story is really relevant today. There are many things that everyone around us in our culture just seems to accept as the truth, but just not everyone plays along with it because they don't want to be the one to go against this lie. Now, it's not always a good idea to drop truth bombs, especially if you're just doing it to enrage someone. Often it's wise to be much more tactful and to try to gently explain why the other person might be wrong. But at times, a lie can be so dangerous that you just need to press that button and tell it like it is, because the truth really matters. Sometimes truth bombs are actually really good for us. Sometimes people who love us most tell us the truth, and they force us to face up to reality and accept what's real. Well, at this moment in John's Gospel, the Bible tells us about this conversation that Jesus was having with some of his opponents. And this is a moment where Jesus very much drops some truth bombs. We're used to reading lots of stories about Jesus where he speaks very kindly and gently to people. But there are moments when he has to just tell it straight and tell the truth. So Jesus had gone to Jerusalem and he had confronted some of the lies that the religious leaders of the time were telling. What were some of those lies? Well, the religious leaders, for one thing, were acting like they were amazing, like they were better than anyone else, as if they were with God and God was with them. But it was all a lie. They were lying to each other and they were lying to other people. They were lying to themselves too. And Jesus knew the truth. He could see people's hearts. He can see our hearts too. But he could see in these people that inside they were actually very proud. They loved to be in important places and to be above other people. He knew that inside they were selfish and they were doing wrong things. But on the outside they were acting like they were perfect and that they were more important than others. And they also knew that these people were lying about who Jesus was. And we read a bit of that in our passage, that he says to them, when they're talking about all this stuff about being Abraham's offspring and they were disagreeing with him, he says to them, "I am telling you what I have seen in my Father's presence." He said, so he's bringing the truth to them. They are denying that truth. And he says, "You are looking for a way to kill me." That's another thing they were doing. They were telling lies about him. They were calling Jesus a deceiver. And they were trying to find a way to kill him. They did not want to listen to the truth that Jesus was bringing. So Jesus directly confronts their deception and their lies. And he tells them several truths. The first one is this, that Jesus tells the religious leaders that they're not true children of Abraham. Now we might wonder, well, what's so important about that? Well, the Jews in general were very proud of the fact that they were biological descendants of Abraham. It was through Abraham that God began to form the people of Israel and had this plan for them and for the world. You can read all about that in the book of Genesis. And so Abraham was someone that they deeply respected, and they wanted to be like Abraham. They wanted to be considered children of Abraham, descendants of Abraham. And many of the Jews felt that simply by being a biological descendant of Abraham, this alone put them a cut above the rest, above the other nations and people in the world. They thought that being a biological descendant of Abraham meant that they were with God and God was with them. Well, it's not as simple as that. So Jesus tells them, you're not true children of Abraham because you're not acting like Abraham. They're trying to have Jesus killed. They're denying the truth that he was bringing. And Jesus says Abraham would not have done that. So this is the truth bomb that Jesus drops to begin with. Being a biological descendant of Abraham doesn't mean anything unless you actually live like Abraham and you follow God like Abraham did. So that's the first thing. And that would have made them very angry if they didn't want to accept what Jesus was saying. The next thing Jesus says to the religious leaders, he says that you're not true children of God. After they hear him talking about Abraham, they say, well, God is our father. We are children of God. And Jesus has to tell them the truth about that too. And he basically says, you can't be children of God because you don't love me or accept the truth I'm bringing. Because Jesus was sent by God the Father. Everything he said was given to him by God the Father. He was God's son. And yet they were rejecting both him and his message. Children are often quite like their parents, aren't they? That's why we have that expression that the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And a similar thing should be true of those who are true children of God. We should be like God in many ways, in that we follow his ways and we love the things God loves and we want to do the things that pleases God. But they're not doing that. Who were they acting like? Well, this was another very controversial thing that Jesus said. He says that actually you're acting more like the devil. And he explains that the devil is a liar and a murderer. And they also were lying and they wanted to murder Jesus. So their words and their actions were more like the devil's than God's. They were acting more like children of the devil. Well, you can imagine how Jesus' words went down. These people, when they heard this, they were furious. Why did Jesus need to say these words if he knew that they would get so angry with him? Well, again, the truth really matters. Sometimes it can be easier to tell a lie. We sometimes call them white lies. They're not always very white. Or sometimes it can be easy just to play along with a lie. Because sometimes that makes our lives easier. We don't have to confront difficult things. But it's really important for us to tell the truth, even if it's difficult. And it was even more important in this situation because these people were supposed to be leaders in Israel. People looked up to them. People followed their lead. So if Jesus didn't confront their lies, then they would be leading many people astray. If they were allowed to spread the lies about who Jesus was without being challenged, in the end, many people would end up being deceived too. So it was important that Jesus confronted them, even if it did make them angry. And it was especially important because what we do with Jesus really matters. I don't know if you've heard of something called a litmus test in school, where there's this bit of paper and you put it in a liquid, and I can't remember which way round it is, but if it turns red, it's and more of an acid, and if it turns blue, it's an alkali, or the other way around, I can't remember. But a litmus test is something that is decisive. And what we do with Jesus is a bit like that. It's a decisive thing because he is the one God has sent. It's through Jesus we can be saved. So in God's plan, God has brought things about that if we accept or reject Jesus, that is crucial for us. And Jesus says here, whoever obeys my word will never see death. That's how important this is. Jesus knows that this is a matter of eternal life. God the Father sent Jesus into the world to bring the truth. And he says that if we accept that truth, we will have eternal life. So it was important for Jesus to stand up for the truth because salvation, other people's salvation, depended on it. And actually, he says that if I didn't tell the truth, I would be a liar too. So that's the second thing Jesus says. The third thing, the final thing we're looking at here, Jesus says to them, before Abraham was born, I am. And this was actually, in some ways, the biggest truth bomb that Jesus drops. Why does he say that? Well, after Jesus said, whoever obeys my word will never see death, the religious leaders start talking about Abraham again. And they start saying that Jesus is demon-possessed. And they call him a Samaritan, which was sort of the worst insult they think of. When we think of the Samaritan, we think of the Good Samaritan because of the parable. But back then, the context was that Samaritans were not considered true Jews. So people rejected them and they thought badly of them. So by calling Jesus a Samaritan, that was sort of one of the worst things they could think of to say to him. And they say to him, Abraham died, so how can you say that whoever obeys your word will never taste death? They ask him, are you saying that you're greater than Abraham? Abraham never said anything like that. They say to him, who do you think you are? I wonder if anyone's ever said that to you. Who do you think you are? That's what they say to Jesus. And they didn't think that Jesus was anyone special. They weren't accepting him as the Messiah. And so they certainly didn't think that Jesus is greater than Abraham. But he actually was. That was the truth. So Jesus replies, Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it and was glad. So that was a strange thing to say. Here's a little timeline. So Abraham lived roughly 2,000 years before Jesus. And at that time, Jesus was less than 50 years old. In fact, he was about 33. And yet Jesus is saying to them that Abraham knew about him and that Abraham looked forward to seeing him. And he actually says, and actually Abraham saw my day. He saw me and he was glad. How could Jesus say that if Abraham lived 2,000 years before? So that these religious leaders cannot believe these words coming out of Jesus' mouth. And so they say to Jesus, you're not yet 50 years old, and you've seen Abraham. How could you have met Abraham? How could that possibly be true? How could any of Jesus' claims be true, they think? Well, that's when Jesus says these words, which are the I am saying that we're looking at today. He says, very truly I tell you, before Abraham was born, I am. So during this series, we've read many of the things that Jesus said about himself. But this represents one of the highest claims that Jesus ever made about himself. But what is Jesus actually saying here? Notice two things about Jesus' words here. Firstly, Jesus is claiming not only to have been around in Abraham's time, but even before Abraham was born. Even though Abraham lived roughly 2,000 years before Jesus was born, he's saying that he was around then. He's saying that he existed before that. And at Christmas, we celebrate Jesus' birth, don't we? And usually when someone is conceived and born, that is the beginning of their life. But the Bible tells us that Jesus' conception and birth wasn't his beginning. When Jesus was born, the Bible tells us that that was simply when he came into this world, when he took on human flesh. In other words, when he became a human being. That's very different, isn't it, to everybody else? So the Bible tells us that Jesus existed even before he was born in Bethlehem. And there's only one way that that could be true. If Jesus is God. And that is what Jesus is claiming here. He is Emmanuel. That's one of the titles of Jesus connected to his birth. The word Emmanuel means God with us. So that's what Jesus is saying here. And it's a massive claim, isn't it? But Jesus is saying something even more than that. So secondly, when Jesus says, before Abraham was born, I am. Well, we might think if you were marking a paper at school or something, or helping your children or grandchildren with their homework, you might say, oh, you've got the grammar wrong then. You should say, before Abraham was born, I was born. But that's not what Jesus says. He says, before Abraham was born, I am. Jesus isn't getting his grammar wrong then. He's saying something really important that we can easily miss. Those words, I am, are the same as God's name that appears in the Old Testament. It was in the Hebrew part of the Bible, the Old Testament. It's the name that God revealed to Moses from the burning bush and used after that as a special name that he used between him and his people. So I'm just going to read this moment where God reveals this name to Moses. It's in Exodus chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. We read, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. And they ask me, what is his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites. I am has sent me to you. So this is the moment when God is calling Moses to go back to Egypt and save the Israelites from slavery. And Moses asks God, what shall I call you? And God says, call me I am. That doesn't sound like an everyday name, but in Hebrew, this is what the Hebrew looks like there. That's how they write it. In Hebrew, this name is sometimes pronounced Yahweh, or in some translations of the Bible, Jehovah. But it's a descriptive name. It means that God simply is. He is that I am. He has no beginning or end. He never changes. He simply is. The name is the name that God himself uses for himself again and again in the Old Testament. And now Jesus is using that name for himself. He's using it as a name and description of himself. Before Abraham was born, I am. So, what Jesus is doing here by saying those words is nothing less than claiming that he is God, that he is Yahweh, that he is Jehovah. And this isn't lost on Jesus' opponents. We have to do a bit of background to understand the significance of Jesus saying, I am, like that. But for them, they knew straight away what Jesus was saying. And we know that because as soon as Jesus said this, we read there in verse 59, it says, at this, they picked up stones to stone him. So in those times, one of the punishments for blasphemy against God that the people did was that they would pick up stones and stone someone and kill them. So the fact that they do this shows that they realize what Jesus is saying, that he is claiming to be the I am. But Jesus slips away from them and goes out of the temple grounds. They knew he was claiming to be God, and they didn't want to accept that. So, that is today's passage, and this is Jesus' I am saying, one of the greatest claims here that Jesus made. Before Abraham was born, I am. But why does it matter to us today? Why do Jesus' words matter to us? So this, again, is one of the clearest examples where Jesus is saying that he is God. Some people, even today, try to say that Jesus was just a good teacher, or that he was some sort of religious guru, just like lots of other religious teachers and gurus that we've had in history. But they don't believe that he was God. The same was true in Jesus' day for many people and the things people were saying about him. And exactly the same is true today. But Jesus is saying here forces us to make a decision. Because either he was God and he was telling the truth, or he wasn't God and he was telling a lie. There's only those two options, aren't there? It's either one or the other. There's no middle ground. And if he was telling a lie, then he wouldn't even be, you wouldn't be able to consider him a good teacher, would you? And yet everything he did, everything we know about Jesus, we know he did good, he said good things. So that can't possibly be true. What we decide on that matter has great significance for us today. If Jesus was God, then that means that we really need to pay attention to his words. Remember, he said, whoever obeys my word will never see death. So the stakes are really high in this claim that Jesus is making. And again, for him, this is a matter of eternal life. The religious teachers had made up their minds. They did not accept that Jesus was God. But here's the thing. If you look at the evidence, there's so many things that point to the fact that Jesus really was telling the truth and that he really was God come into this world. No one else has had the impact that Jesus has had on this world. We even number our years after his birth, don't we? Jesus' disciples died for the message about who he was and about what he had done, especially that he had rose again. And people don't give their lives up for something that's a lie, do they? The evidence that the Bible is the word of God through things like fulfilled prophecy is really strong evidence. There's prophecy we can look at that we know is written hundreds of years ago that has come true. Millions of people around the world who have had their lives changed by Jesus is strong evidence. There's many other things we could say. But there is, in fact, good reason to believe that Jesus was who he said he was. And so we started off talking about truth bombs. And I said earlier that sometimes truth bombs can be really good for us because they make us face up to reality. Well, this truth bomb that Jesus is God should be like an explosion in our lives in a good way. The amazing truth is that Jesus is God and that he is Lord. So we need to recognize that in our lives and live lives serving him. It should be something that completely changes our worldview and our perspective on everything about life. And another amazing part of that we've mentioned, because Jesus is God, that means that God really did come into this world. He became a man. He really did die on the cross to save us. God himself, who created us, died on a cross because of his love for us. That should change everything in our lives. He did that to bring us forgiveness, to bring us back to God. So this truth that Jesus proclaims at this moment that made those people very angry because they were rejecting him should be a wonderful thing for us that has repercussions on our whole lives. It should wake us up to the reality that Jesus is Lord and that he should be the most important thing in our lives. Let's pray and then we're going to sing our closing song. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your truth that you bring into this world, which is the truth. We thank you that you don't allow us to go on with our lives believing in falsehood, but that you came into this world, you became a human being, you brought the truth, you shone the truth like a light in this dark world. And Lord, we pray that you would wake us up to that truth more and more. We thank you that you loved us so much that you died on that cross for us. And Lord, we pray that that would have repercussions in our whole lives. Lord, we thank you for those words that Jesus said there, where he revealed clearly that he is God. And Lord, we pray that we would recognize that in our lives, that he would be Lord over our whole lives. We pray that in all our words, in all our actions, in all our relationships, Lord, that We would look to you and seek to please you and serve you in all that we do. And we thank you that you are a loving God who cares for us. We thank you that we can serve you and trust you with great joy, knowing that your will is best for us. So help us, Lord, to submit to your truth with joy, to be filled with hope and confidence in it. And Lord, we thank you again that you came into this world to seek and to save us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.